And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, do we have a great show for you today. Pete Gray's not going to be joining us, you heard yesterday, but doing great back at home, recovering from a little surgery and feeling good. So we're going to be talking a lot of fishing today with one of our best bros in the studio today, Greg Stotesbury, expert angler, formerly of AFCO, and a great fishing friend. Corey and I are going to be hanging out, talking fishing with you. You stay tuned. We got 2 hours of great fishing information coming your way. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 10.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish-finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO Fillet Knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort. Much more than just a place to park your boat.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, the stories are already flying, Rick.
No doubt. I'm always excited and so much fun to have Greg in here. Greg's like a obviously, you know, been our friend and fishing partner and, you know, and such a big part of AFCO and the radio show for so many years. And I always like it when Greg comes in because Greg just likes to go fishing. And Greg doesn't care if he's catching the highlight, you know, flash bulb, biggest tuna in the world, or catching a bass or a trout somewhere. You got the passion like few people do, and I dig it. I dig coming and hanging out and talking fishing with you, buddy.
Well, thanks for that, Rick, and good morning, guys. I appreciate it. And I'm like you. I mean, both you guys. I mean, I love to catch everything, and so depending on the time of year, depends on where I'm at and what I'm fishing for. We just got back from the river, and we're fishing Lake Havasu out there with my wife, and had a great time, and chasing smallmouth bass. And
I saw a picture of Vivian with a monster smallie, too.
She got a nice one.
That's really cool.
She was so excited. I just built a custom rod for her, a nice Loomis rod that I had built for her. And she wanted to catch a big fish on it. And, yeah, she made the right cast and got that giant smallmouth. And we got some good pictures of it and turned it loose. But it was tough fishing for us. We caught some fish, but there was that big that big Arizona Open tournament going on. Okay. Like I was telling you, 200 boats on the lake.
So you were sharing a lot of water.
We were sharing a lot of water. Luckily, Havasu is big, and right. we were able to run. I mean, we literally ran almost to Needles on yep. the upriver end and all the way to the dam on the downriver end.
Wow.
So it's a lot of ground. Quite a few miles, really, from the dam, like up as far as you can fish.
I mean, probably 60 miles of
I mean, wrap your mind around that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's from Point Loma to yeah. to what? Santa Onofre,
up there. Luckily, we line on both sides.
Luckily, we can do it at 60 miles an hour, so we were able to cover a lot of ground.
That's cool.
But Havasu it's a big lake that sometimes fishes small, and it definitely fished small for us. We just didn't find that many fish in too many places, but a lot of fun, and it's all good.
That's cool. Is this year number two of full retirement, or is this like the beginning of the first? Full meaning, like kind of what I'm getting at is, you know, this is the first time of, or early in your retirement of kind of planning where you're fishing, and you get to plan fishing around fishing instead of fishing around work.
Exactly. This is actually year two.
Okay.
So I retired in at the end of December of last year. Yes, that'd be right. Of 19.
Okay.
So yeah, this is my second year of full retirement, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I'm a planner. And my yearly calendar kind of revolves around the three different boats. I have a bass boat, and I love to bass fish. So that's typically overlaps hunting season, starts in October and goes till like April. And then we have the ocean boat that I'm partners with my brother in that we run out of Redondo.
And what kind of boat is that?
It's a 33 Brigantine.
Okay.
And a real nice boat.
Yeah, very traditional Southern California-style sports fisher.
Very much so. It was built in Costa Mesa, and then it's been rebuilt a couple of times. Actually, it's going through a major refit right now.
Okay.
But we start fishing that boat in June when we get done with trout season and, you know, kind of the end of bass fishing. But, no, it's fun. I've got some great trips planned. I'm going to go to Wyoming and do a trout trip this year. And we're going back to Flaming Gorge to fish the lake trout and Pyramid Lake again. Went to Pyramid Lake in December and had a great trip.
Okay.
And so we got a bunch of really fun stuff planned. I love fishing the big trout.
You said you were in Pyramid in December?
I was in December, we went to Pyramid.
I just have to ask how cold it was.
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
And Pete warned me, and I talked to you, said it was 20s in the morning.
Okay.
You know, high 20s, and then got up to the mid 40s in the afternoon. I'm not going to say it was.
You're not saying it was hot. Sure.
I wasn't slathering on the sunscreen, but it was not brutal cold, and the fishing was fantastic.
I want to get my hands on one of those big cutthroats so bad. But everybody talks about this. Is just get your heads up. The coldest you'll ever be in your life will be on a ladder when the wind is blowing on that lake.
Yeah, it definitely is cold. And when the wind blows, the fish bite better. And I think the colder it gets, the shallower they tend to go.
Okay.
And, you know, we were fishing all with fly rods and either stripping streamers or using an indicator with a couple of flies underneath it.
From the ladder?
No, we fished from a boat. I took my I've got a little 17.5-foot AquaSport skiff, and we took my skiff up there, and then we fished one day with a friend of ours, Sam Vasily, who's a guide up there. Fished with him the first day just to kind of get the lay of the land, and I'm glad we did because I mean, the lake's 30 miles long. I had no idea where to go. But so we fished with him the first day, and he kind of showed us the ropes, and then we fished my skiff for a couple of days, had some motor problems the third day, and ended up back with Sam the last day. And it was just a real learning process with him. Those things are so different in how they bite and where the areas that they end up in. And we fished the bottom end of the lake. And when there was a wind in the north end, it's like fishing on the ocean. It's like being in Baja.
Really?
I mean, there's a swell and there's current. And it's a very different fishery from any place I've ever been.
Such a unique big fish fishery, too. I mean, it's just different from everything else.
Yeah, Rick, I think we caught right at 50 fish for the 4 days that we fished, which is that's not huge numbers for three guys, but it's decent.
A lot of fish.
But I think our smallest fish was 4 or 5 pounds, and our biggest was 17 and a half.
that's wild. Crazy.
And a lot of them 8 to 12 pounds.
Are they eating finfish? I mean, are they like yellows cruising and looking
They are meat eaters.
Really?
Like big time
speed. That's cool.
Yeah, they feed on those tui chubs and the kiwi, which is the suckerfish, which is the native in there. And they also have a certain kind of midge that lives in that porous rock there that comes out. It's like a worm, and then it goes through its metamorphosis and comes to the surface. So they'll eat a midge, but it's a big midge. I'm talking like a size 10 midge.
Okay.
And so we fished a lot of that on a double rig. We'd have a midge, and then we'd have a balanced leech on the bottom on 12-pound leader. And you have to fish heavy leader because you get double bit. I had one fish fighting a 10 or 12 pounder, and underneath the water 5 feet down, I watch an 8 pounder eat my top fly, break the 12 pound leader, and I ended up landing the bottom fish.
That's crazy. 20 pounds of fish pulling different directions. Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's a neat spot.
That's rad. That's very cool. And your so we briefly talked about it, your saltwater boat. How was your, you know, the wrap-up of the saltwater season? Did it go as you had hoped? I mean, you guys have some great fishing.
I've got to say it wasn't great. I mean, we caught some standout fish this last year. I caught my my button tuna club fish on
all right. 24 Congratulations.
Thread, thank you, on 24-thread linen. And on an antique rod and an antique pen 9-0.
What an accomplishment.
So what is
it? Fun.
What does it take to achieve that button? It's a very big deal and not an easy thing to do. What does one need to do to achieve that goal?
So you've got to get a tuna in tuna club waters over 100 pounds on traditional tuna club tackle, meaning either Dacron or linen. The fact that I did it on linen is kind of a big deal.
It's like an extra feather in the cap kind of thing?
And the fish was 130-pound fish, not a giant by the standards we have lately, but just right for the bamboo rod and the old 9-0 that I caught on. And the line was 75 years old that I caught the fish on. So it was
unbelievable.
It was antique line that my good friend Dave Pfeiffer found for me and sent to me. And I broke five fish off on it previously, and I finally reversed the line. I figured, well, the top side of the line's no good, so I reversed it on the reel. And the first fish we hooked was this 130-pounder.
75-year-old line.
75
That's so
year old
cool.
Line. It tested 52 pounds.
Okay.
So.
And there's nothing you can do to add anything to that. I mean, it's just 75 years of, you know, maybe it was so strong when it started. I mean, you just have to do exactly what you did. And
you have to find
pull
good
every
linen.
Trick out of the bag. Okay.
You have to find good linen, and that's the key, and it's very hard to do. Now we're working on a project with in conjunction with JD up at JD's Tackle to have some linen made that fits our tuna club spec.
Okay.
It's being made over in Europe, and it looks like we're going to get some 9-thread and 24-thread.
Oh, how exciting.
So
cool.
The more of the members will have access to that line and be able to try to get their buttonfish on it.
Is that the hardest part of achieving that is finding the tackle that's appropriate to catch that grade of fish in
Now,
today?
The hardest part is landing the fish because linen is just notoriously finicky. I mean, it when it gets wet, it's super heavy. So you try to put it on the kite, it'll sink the kite, and it'll pull its way back to the boat. It's not reliable. Mm-hmm. You'll have 20 feet of it that tests 70 pounds. You'll have 5 feet that test 20 pounds, and then you'll have another 20 feet that test 60 pounds. So you never know until you get it in the water. Finally, what Dave Pfeiffer and I both caught our fish on antique tackle. He got his button fish 3 years ago on our boat, and then I got mine. But what we finally do, put a bucket over the side and just pull on the stuff. And you're kind of cringing because it's like, that's, you know, I won't even tell you what that line costs. It was in the hundreds.
Sure.
And you don't want to break it in the middle because then what do you got? You got 200 yards of nothing.
Right.
But on the same hand, you'd rather test it on a bucket than everything you're putting in a hook and a 100-plus pound fish.
Yes. Yeah. So we did that. We pulled on it. We figured the line was good. We hooked the fish on a dead flying fish that I had rigged, a floater. And the fish was pretty cooperative. I think it was an hour and a half.
That's
awesome. But anyway, that was a highlight. But we caught a couple of big swordfish and caught some marlin. But not a standout year, but an okay year for us.
Good one.
Yeah, a couple of Bill Shedd's giant swordfish, which is a whole other story, was a big hit. And then I caught a swordfish that same day. So we had two in a day, and I think we had a few bites this year. It wasn't great for us, but we got a few.
That's awesome. Well, certainly sounds like a good year and lots of fun, and you know, just again, like we said at the beginning, that's how Greg rolls. Is you like to fish, and whatever the season and appropriate and presents itself, you like to do, you're going to fish for it. And I guarantee that you are just as happy fishing smallmouths with Vivian as you were catching big giant swordfish, you know, offshore.
Maybe happier.
I take it for sure. Well, we're certainly going to have a great show today. So much great stuff to talk about, Corey. Today's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, it's already so much fun. And, hey, you want to give us a shout and join in on the fun with Greg in studio? I mean, it's really a rare opportunity here. And 213-432-1090, that's your option to call in and have your chance of winning a cool AFCO package here, too. One of the new fillet knives and two spools of Psycho Pro fluorocarbon, which you had your hand in, didn't you?
I did. That was one of the last projects I worked on, that and the knives before I retired. And I guess they're both doing great from what I hear.
Dude, I purchased a couple of the knives myself, and I love them. I mean, they're Southern California perfect, really, you know?
Scary sharp.
What I've had fun watching over the last maybe couple of years now is the adoption of that Psycho Pro becoming the line that the top long-range boats are using. And I think that that's such a cool whatever you call it, achievement or whatever, because those guys don't care who the sponsor is and they don't care what the price is.
They just want the product that's going to get the job done.
Period. And, you know, and there were other lines that those guys adopted. Okay, this is the best thing to use, so we're all going to use it. And then, you know, when a new game comes to town, like it's not easy to win over even the shot at fishing. And then let alone when I see those guys coming into the tackle store and spending their boat money or their crew money or whatever it is, and buying that, I think that's the ultimate thing to say about it. And there's no doubt. I mean, the top echelon of those long range boats, that's what they've been coming in and buying. And it's really cool to watch. And it's for a reason. It's really good stuff.
It is great stuff. You know, and I went over to Japan when we were developing the line, and I went through the laboratory at the factory where they build it and saw how they test it and all the different processes they go through and then all the different lines that they had data on, all the different fluorocarbons from everybody in Korea and China and everywhere else, including the top end, what's considered the top end fluorocarbons mm-hmm. in Japan. And they showed us the side by sides and all the different things like tensile strength and diameter and all the stuff that's critical in line abrasion resistance. There's no doubt that line is phenomenal line. And of course we've been fishing it and using it. I know how good it is firsthand, not from what I saw in the lab, but what I see on the water
fish
as well.
With it. Yes. You had mentioned a time ago that one of the biggest attributes to that particular line is how good it works after it's been compromised.
Strength after abrasion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like a thing that nobody even thinks about and probably the most important part of anything.
Yeah. I can give you multiple examples. On this trip, I had two rods in the boat that we trailered. When we trailered the boat, I had two rods that are too long to fit in the locker, so they were out on the deck. One of them, the guide on one of them had rubbed against the CycloPro fluorocarbon 12-pound, and it abraded a big white spot in it. Mm-hmm. I know it was greatly reduced in strength. Well, we ended up catching a couple big fish on it before I caught that bad spot
was
in
there. Yeah, right, before you even saw it.
And I took my hands and tried to break the leader just to know for myself exactly what we're talking about with the after abrasion strength. I couldn't break it.
That's cool.
It's still tested, I don't know, somewhere over 10 pounds.
That's awesome.
And it had a big abraded spot in it. So that's, to me, an ideal example of how that line is supposed to perform, and whether it's rubbed on a rock, a piling, a boat hull, a prop, whatever.
Getting chewed on by a bluefin.
Exactly.
You accidentally gut hooked it when you're hoping to hook it in the corner, whatever that is. Like, anything can test really high when it's perfect, but when it's compromised and abraded like that, to still get the strength out of it, that's it. That's why you're using it. I love it.
Yeah, that and the knot strength on it was tremendous as well. So.
That's really cool.
Good stuff.
What a great prize to get to give away, Corey.
It really is, Rick. And so, once again, one lucky caller today, the number 213-432-1090 is going to win not only two spools of that fluorocarbon, Rick, but APCO Filet and I have to go along with it. And you can text the show, too. So get on the app and send us a text. Rick will get your text, and we'll get the messages across. Hugely popular. A lot of them come through. And we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More with Greg Stotesbury. Lots of stories, man. We got lots going on we're talking about. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app in the Mightier 1090.
It's a fact of life in Southern California, hard water. And if you have a pool, your tile shows it. Here comes San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning to the rescue. With their specialized equipment, SD Pool Tile Cleaning can safely remove the stubborn calcium deposits most pool owners struggle with. SD Pool Tile Cleaning can make your tile look bright and clean, almost like new again. High-pressure pool maintenance cleaning can damage grout, stone, and dislodge tiles. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning uses a low-pressure media blasting technique to protect your pool surface from damage and yield fantastic results. So stop making excuses for your stained tiles on your pool. Make them look like new again with San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check their website at sdpooltilecleaning.com and let their professional staff rejuvenate your pool tile. When it comes to professional swimming pool tile cleaning service, there's only one name you can trust. San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check sdpooltilecleaning.com.
Henry David Thoreau said, "Many men go fishing all their lives without knowing that it's not the fish they are after." Let me tell you, it's been one wild year, but one thing that still rings true is how nice it is to get out on the water. And at Fast Lane Kayaking, we have the tools to do it. Catch fish and social distance on the super stable and fully loaded fishing machine, the Hobie Pro Angler, now available with the Mirage Drive 360. Or explore our beautiful coastlines, bays, and lakes in comfort on a Hobie Compass or Passport. Or load up the car and hit the road with the inflatable Hobie I-11S and kayak the stunning lakes in Eastern Sierra, or wherever you can dream up. The Fast Lane team cannot begin to tell you how much we appreciate your business over the last 41 years. We are family owned and operated and always have been. And we're here to help you get on the water and spread the stoke. Check out our website at fastlanekayaking.com or stop by the shop in Dana Landing Marina right on the water in Mission Bay. Let's get out and make some memories.
Gotta love California in the summer. Just remember, COVID is still with us. So if you're going to the water, plan ahead, follow local public health guidelines, and make sure everyone wears a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure-ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third-row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin-panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, full two fun hours ahead of us for sure with having Greg in studio. And if you want to give us a call, 213-432-1090. We're giving away a AFCO fillet knife and two spools of the Psycho fluorocarbon.
No doubt. And I just enjoy having Greg in here so much. Greg, he's an open book, happy to tell. I'm not going to tell this guy about this type of fishing. It's just a great fisherman. And the thing that I admire so much about the fishing that you've done, you know, pre-retirement, Greg, is you were a weekend warrior. You know, I mean, you did what so many of us out there do. You went to work during the week, and then when the weekend came, you went fishing. You fished with your buds, and you fished with your wife, and it wasn't done with an unlimited budget and an unlimited time. You went and you caught a bunch of fish, and it just shows that if you put the work into it, it's accessible.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you guys know from living here, it just got to be so much of a grind dealing with weekend traffic, not just on the lake, but going and coming. And so now the luxury of being able to go during the week, I really don't want to go on weekends.
Sure.
I mean, we had a hell drive home yesterday from the river. Actually, we had gone down to Phoenix, fished Lake Pleasant the last day, and then we drove home from Phoenix because our daughter lives down there. And just that drive on the 91 and the 10 and the 15, it's such a nightmare. And it's of course, it's getting worse and worse, and everybody knows that. But, yeah, being able to go during the week, being on the lake with five boats, six boats, eight boats,
sweet.
And I know most of them, or wherever, it's a huge advantage. And Michael and I, my brother and I, are taking the ocean boat, and we're doing more Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come mm-hmm. home Sunday. Everybody can chill out and relax and be with family before the work week starts. And there's probably a little bit of resentment. I get vibed a little bit by some of my friends because, where are you now during the week? One of my best friends, Todd, always calls me and says, well, where the hell are you now? I know you're coming back from somewhere. And he calls me on a Wednesday or a Thursday. I said, yeah, I'm at the lake, man.
That's awesome. I love it.
I'm no longer having to duke it out on the weekends with all the other people.
Yeah, but you earned it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice, Rick. I appreciate
great,
it. A lot of years of doing the weekend thing, but also blessed to be able to do a lot of stuff during the week and go on a lot of trips with the company that were really cool.
Yeah, I just take it. What I take from it is that a lot of us, you know, the majority of us that are listening, go to the work in the week, and you have seen great fishing in your career on the weekend. Like you were a 5 day a week guy for a lot of years and still found phenomenal fishing from it. So I admire it. I think it's awesome. Well,
Thank you.
Are absolutely packed. Everybody's excited to talk to Greg. Not a better wealth of knowledge when it comes to tackle and rigging and this type of fishing. So going to be a great show and a great opportunity to talk to not only a good dude but a great fisherman.
You want to talk to Mike calling from San Carlos.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your expert novice. So Yeah, I'm an avid listener. In back from when Martin Milner was on the show. So, yeah, I listen to everything you guys say. I got a two-speed from Carol Sheets. I got a Speedmaster. But sometimes you kind of talk like in a different atmosphere, like you talk about a wind-on or, you know, stuff like a little above my grade. But so here we go. AFCO Filet Knife. I'd love one, but then what do I do with it? I've never really filleted a fish. But where do you start? You know, at the top or the bottom, or cut it in half?
You know, where I would start is if you can, try to get online, and there's a ton of videos online that show you how to cut fish.
Totally.
But to try to explain it to you right now over the air would be tough. But it's really not hard, and the key is a good sharp knife, and that AFCO fillet knife is mega sharp. Dangerous sharp, so you have to be careful with it. But go online, check it out. There's a zillion different videos online that'll show you how to cut a fish.
There's some serious truth to what you said there too. Is it is crazy. It can be very difficult trying to get that done with a crummy knife. You know,
yeah.
Like trying to get the job done with where you're hacking through, and it's amazing how much. Obviously, like you say, a sharper knife can be a lot more dangerous, but boy, it can sure make your job a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and we've kind of made at least on our boat, we've kind of made a science out of it and how we care for our fish and process them and bleed them and gut them and all those kinds of things. Because we want the best product we can get at the end of the day, and having a sharp knife is critical.
What is that process? Like maybe run us through the Stotesbury process when you get that 130-pound bluefin on board. What do you guys do with it?
So number one thing we do is we're real careful with the fish when we handle it. We don't throw it on the deck. We don't bounce it on the deck. We try not to bruise the meat at all. We try to kill the fish and bleed the fish quickly, but we bleed it first usually by putting a little cut underneath the pec fin on each side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the main vein that supplies blood to the muscle tissue is right underneath the pec fin. And again, you can go online and see exactly where it is, but you make a little tiny quarter-inch deep cut under each pec fin.
And there is no doubting when you hit that vein.
The blood comes out big time.
Yeah.
We bleed the fish out, and then we'll typically cut around the vent and then cut into the gills inside the fish's gill area and pull as much of the entrails out as we can, as much of the gills out as we can, rinse the fish real well, and then put it right in slush ice.
That's awesome.
And the reason of pulling the guts out, most people don't understand, is that's where the heat's at.
Yes.
Number one. And number two, to pack it with ice, you're then chilling it from the inner core.
That's correct. And it's a lot of work to do on the spot, and you want to get back out and catch another fish. But, you know,
but you want to take care of what you got,
we
too.
Want the best of what we got.
Yeah.
I want that 130-pound fish in the bag as cold as it can be,
primo.
Sushi quality meat at the end of the trip. And we chill it down, and then when we clean it and we cut it, we use no water. We use paper towels. So when we cut the fillet, because there's no blood left in
mm-hmm.
it and very little slime or anything, we clean the outside of the fish, and then when we cut it, we take each cut we take off the fish, we dry it with paper towels and put it in Ziploc bags in paper towels. Don't absorb it.
Which is so important.
You cut it, you dry it off with a paper towel, then you have your now dried fillet. You then wrap that in a new clean paper towel before you put it in your bag.
Before we put it in the bag.
That's
and then
huge.
Put it right back on ice. So the whole idea is to control the liquid.
Yeah.
You don't want any liquid around the fillet. That's what gets brown and nasty, and it oxidizes and changes the taste of the fish.
And it does. Whatever happens with fresh water, if you rinse your fillet off or whatever you have, from bass to rockfish to bluefin, whatever it is, if you rinse it off with fresh water and just watch it for 5 minutes, it
yeah.
starts to cook. It's literally turning white.
We never put fresh or salt water.
Never.
Unless
never.
For some reason we get some nastiness out of the guts that gets on the fillet,
mm-hmm.
we
or
do our best
to
dry them, clean them, and put them in a bag.
Yeah.
John Sebring made a really good call from Fisherman's Processing when, you know, when somebody was talking about, you know, filleting fish and the need to rinse things off. And he said, keep yourself clean the whole time. Keep your board clean. Keep your knife clean. Keep everything clean before you get started, and you won't have to be rinsing all those things off. You know?
Exactly.
Think about the end game at the beginning, and you're gonna end up with a much better product.
Yeah, we handle fish in a way on the boat that most people that come on our boat, well, a lot of them are pretty experienced, but some of them that aren't, they just look at us and go, "You're crazy. Why do you?
What are you doing all
that?
This for?"
Well, because I love to eat bluefin tuna, yeah. And I only like it when it's perfect.
Yeah,
if it's not perfect, I give it away.
Yeah.
How about the slush ice? Do you do that? You know, with one of the big insulated, reliable style kill bags?
We do.
Do you do a fish hold on the boat, or what's the best method for you guys?
Unfortunately, our boat's not big enough to have a hold. It's only 33 feet, and most of it's taken up with motors and bait tanks, so there's not much deck space left. So no, we have a big fish bag on the back. And we typically will start the trip with a minimum of 200 pounds of ice. That's a lot of ice, but if you want to, you know, you need for every pound of fish, you need a pound of ice. So if we got a 200-pound tuna, we figure we need 200 pounds of ice. And a lot of times we will beg, borrow, or buy more ice in the middle of the trip if we have to. But the other thing we do is we don't carry more fish than we can care for.
That's awesome.
I just won't do it. We'll turn them loose. And we've cut loose a lot of fish because the bag's full. We've used all our ice. We're at Clemente on a 3-day trip, and it's day two. I'm not going to kill any more fish and waste it.
Yeah, and they even bring home a fish on the deck and have it there for 12 hours. It doesn't do it justice at all.
It's cat food.
And you know that the way that you took care of the 200-pounder that is in the bag is going to provide plenty for you and the crew and all the buds anyways.
Yeah, but that's the way we do it.
That's awesome.
Use a couple 5-gallon buckets of salt water on 200 pounds of ice out of the bag so it can circulate around the fish and then shove it in the cavity, so the fish can chill. And that's our way of doing it.
That's
awesome. It works pretty good.
Right on, Mike. Appreciate the phone call very much. Corey, who's up next there?
Let's talk to John. John from Escondido. Good morning. Welcome to the show this morning, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Ricky, happy Valentine's Day to your beautiful wife, you and your beautiful wife, Dallas. And Corey,
nice,
and Pete, you're listening to you and your wife. But hope you guys have a great time. And Greg, I just love watching your shows, And I was even fortunate a couple years back that I was getting off the Royal Polaris and you were doing a special where you interviewed Roy. And Frank was on the boat and stuff like that. And so I got a few pictures of me, some on YouTube, and stuff. But keep up what you're doing, man. It's fun to watch. And you guys have a great day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, all good. Appreciate that very much. Hey, we wanted to go to the text. Again, if you want to get through on the text, there's been lots of great stuff that has already came through. It's only available on the Let's Talk Hookup app. So if you want to get through on the Let's Talk Hookup app, a free download, easy to find. This says, question for Greg. I participated in AFTCO's Buy a Mask, Give a Mask program in the spring. Do you have any idea what the final tally is of AFTCO masks donated? I think that was the coolest program of any fishing company that I had ever heard, and that was from Rich in San Pedro.
Rich, I wish I could answer your question, but I'm a retired guy now, and I don't know those numbers.
I kind of figured that was the case.
Hey, you're saying it with a smile, Greg.
my successor, Robbie Gant, would probably know.
Yeah.
My wife might even know. She's the customer service manager.
Probably would, too.
But those kinds of numbers, I don't think about them anymore.
No need. That's pretty darn cool. But again, a great program, and for those that weren't aware, especially in the beginning of this whole pandemic, when everybody was worried about masks and what you're going to do and how you're going to go to the grocery store, every mask that was purchased from AFTCO, they donated one to whatever worthy cause necessary, whether that was medical or a firefighter or a crew member on a boat or whatever the scenario was. They found a very worthy home and did one for one, and that's the I know it's your former employer, but that's just what AFTCO always was about.
That's so typical of AFTCO. And all joking aside, I'm sure they gave away many, many thousands, and I'm sure it cost a bunch. But again, that's the Shedd family.
Yeah,
and that's the AFTCO way. They just do it like that.
The amount of money spent on the right thing has never been a question ever.
No,
pretty darn cool.
That's true.
Rich, great call, man. Appreciate the text very much. Let's find out what's going down south. We're going to head down to Rancho Lanero. John Ireland's on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Greg.
Morning.
Well, I thought I'd touch base here. It's been a couple weeks. Beautiful week this week down at the ranch. Water's real flat and clear. Water's about 70 degrees now, and perfect water for yellowtail, and that's really what's going on. Few of the locals are fishing, and a lot of commercial boats out. Not much pressure, but right out in front and all the high spots are picking up really nice yellowtail. There's a lot of sardine and Spanish mac around for bait, and they're dropping those down on the high spots, and 30 pounds plus yellowtail coming up. Some really nut tuggers, some nice fish. We got Dorado, medium-sized Dorado as well, and lots of Sierra around. lots of sierra inside. Right off the front of the ranch, there's, gosh, there was a dozen boats this morning fishing, all picking up sierra. It's a real early morning bite for the sierra as well. We've got white bonita as well, which is making for really good sushi, and a lot of white bonita around, as many as you want, literally. Pretty darn good fishing for this time of year. I wanted to talk to everybody about the COVID testing and all that coming back and forth from Mexico.
Yeah.
There is an option. I just came up day before yesterday, and I went through CBX at Tijuana there, and there's no testing at all. If you fly domestic from Cabo into Tijuana and walk across, the testing is not a factor, not happening. What we are offering at the ranch for the COVID testing is all the testing will be at the hotel. We're going to do it 3 days before departure, so everybody has plenty of time. If they get a false positive, they'll have the opportunity to get another test. For some reason, they do test positive, then their stay at the ranch, if they have to do stay in quarantine, will be free for sure. So we've made arrangements, and it's going to make it as easy as we can for everybody. And I think this COVID testing is just going to be around for probably the next year, and almost anywhere you go internationally, it's going to be the same too. So. But I wanted to reassure everybody that we're doing a good job, and the testing is, like I say, going to be a fact and going to be easy at the ranch for sure.
John, I think that's such a great thing, John. It's going to put a lot of people's mind at ease knowing that, one, you're going to assist everybody in getting that, and you've certainly got arrangements to get it done, to get home safely and easily, and God forbid if something does test that way, you've got arrangements made that way too. So I think it was just a great call, and just further the reason why, you know, when you go down to a place like that, that's why we go to Rancho Leonero. You always got all the bases covered.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. You know, it's crazy times for sure. It's been about a year now. But one thing we've noticed for sure at the booking office is everyone's got cabin fever. Everybody wants to get out and travel. So, and this testing, I think, is going to be around at least for the next year, I assume, something like that. So it's just part of traveling. So if you want to get out and go fishing, then do it. Come down.
Yep,
we're ready for you. And looking forward to it.
We've always said that Rancho Leonero is one of the safest places to go in all of Baja, and I think this is just further proving that. Great job, buddy. Appreciate it very much, John. And if somebody does want to book a trip to come fishing with you and get that cabin fever under control, how do we find you?
Thanks, Rick. 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
Awesome. Appreciate it, John. We look forward to talking to you, and we'll look forward to talking to another great report here next Sunday.
You will, for sure, amigo. Talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate it, buddy. Let's jump back into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. Let's talk to John. John calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Awesome show as always. And I just wanted to ask Greg a couple of questions about sword fishing, where he has done and had success here recently, and what how he rigs them up, and if he uses electric reels and that kind of thing.
Hey, John, I recognize your voice. I hope you're doing well, buddy. We mostly fished up north at Santa Cruz this year, John. We spend most of our time up there because I think there's probably more swordfish per mile up there than anywhere else, other than maybe the 9 mile bank late in the season. But that's kind of our zone up there. It's easy for us out of Redondo to run up there. It's a 70 mile run, but it's still a good zone for us. Good places to stay up there. And we use I won't say we use squid exclusively. There's several different baits that we use, but we use squid more than anything else. And we fish two rods. We fish a tip rod, and a buoy rod. And I think we got most of our bites this year on the tip rod, and most of our fishing was anywhere between 850 and 1,000, 1,100 feet. Fishing on the drop-off up there, we tried to stay between 1,100 and 1,600 feet of water, which the fish seemed to hug that drop-off. There's a real good series of canyons and stuff there off of the domes, and a couple of them that we've had a lot of success in that my brother and I kind of just line up on. And no bonanza. I mean, we had some bites up there, but no bonanza for us, but no, we don't use any electric gear. Everything we use is real, you know, with a harness and a pad, nothing out of the rod holder. It's all, we pick the rod up and fight the fish and battle it,
as real men should.
Do you you mentioned that you squid predominantly, and that there's other baits. And I ask you this because I know that you've done a lot of fishing for this fish in other fisheries on the East Coast, and you've got some very, very good friends that pioneered and perfected this method elsewhere. And I'm asking this because I don't know, but I hear that squid is amongst the lesser popular baits in other areas. Is that indeed the case?
That's exactly true.
Okay,
it's exactly true. And we first started doing the deep drop thing during the day back east when almost nobody had done it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first fish that we caught was a 248-pounder, and it was on a fresh mullet, a rigged mullet.
Okay.
And we had 6 bites that day. And this was fishing in 1,500 feet of water off of Lighthouse Point with my buddy Bert. And so we were using mullet, and I think that there's a number of different baits that'll work. I don't think people here have really explored all the different baits that will work. We use a lot of strip baits like yellowtail bellies, mm-hmm. Dorado bellies if we can get them. Those all work because they're tough and they stay on. But it seems like our confidence is mostly in squid. But we have used other baits, and we our biggest fish this year was not caught on a squid. So
it's so hard to get away from squid, knowing that if you ask your 5 or 6 buddies, well, that's the bite that everybody had on there. And there's something that's one of the difficult parts about this swordfish fishing is once you get everything down there and you're staring at the rod tube, or you're staring at the rod tip, especially if you start going a little while without a bite, you instantly are second guessing everything. Like, oh man, if I put a squid down there, of course I'll be getting a bite. They're not going to bite this or vice versa. It's so tough. But the draw to those strip baits and other things, it is that, correct? It's that that they'll withstand the bite and not just tear it up.
That's true. But to be honest, I mean, the way I sew the squid on, we don't have baits get balled up on the hook. I take that back. We had one bait this year that did get balled up, that the swordfish hit it in the middle and cut it in half, and we didn't get that fish. But with some of these fin baits, you can sew them on, and we always put a glow skirt of some type over the top of the bait just to protect the head of the bait and to add a little more attraction. But there are other things that'll work, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. We've used other baits that work, and I think things like flying fish would work because they're stinky, and I think the swordfish can smell them, and they're real reflective. But like you. Your confidence, whatever your confidence bait is, for us, if it's a 16-inch Humboldt squid, that's probably what we're going to have 2 of down there most of the time.
Totally.
But about bite catch? Is there anything else?
We've had zero.
Zero.
We've caught nothing else. I know that some guys catch big eye threshers, mm-hmm. and that's a possibility. I know that there's been some opa caught. I don't know. There's probably been some tuna caught. I know my buddies back east have hooked big tuna, fishing swordfish. We've caught nothing but swordfish.
So
everything
incredible
we've hooked has been a swordfish.
Incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah. Man, we're having an incredible time. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup at Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app and a mightier 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
All right, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano and all this talk about offshore fishing. Greg, I know, you put the time and the effort into it. It's just all about using the best of tackle, and, man, there's just no denying that some of that gear that Shimano kicks out the door, there just is nothing finer.
No, I'm a huge Talica fan, and we've got, 20 of them on the boat of different sizes that we use all the time. But a Talica 20 or a Talica 25, or Talica 50 for swordfish has been our reel of choice.
I know, and, when you're talking about using 75-year-old lines where difference, where small amounts of spiking drag pressure could be detrimental, it sure is nice to know that you've got the reliability of something that's so machined and so right for what we do.
No question, Rick. The main thing for us, too, is we use that gear hard all season long. I almost never have anything serviced. I don't need to. I mean, it just, the stuff holds up so good. The drags are so smooth and everything's so right with that reel that about the only thing I need to remember to do is take it off the reel seat once a year and clean everything up and put it back on again.
Yep, no doubt about it. It's it's the right tool for the job when you're looking for that big fish. If you want more information, check out your local Shimano dealer or check out Shimano.com.
Reliability. Yamaha is known for it. And it's something boaters value, because these days, few things are built to last. When we find something that is, we hold on to friendships, traditions, outboards. Because every second on the water is sacred. If you count on having this time, you need an outboard you can count on to power it. That's why boaters choose Yamaha for the long run, for life. Because reliability starts here.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Let's Talk Hookup, and man, we're having such a great time. There is one open line at this point. You want to give us a call, 213-432-1090. We're giving away a AFCO fillet knife and two spools of Cyco fluorocarbon. Yeah, that's a good time.
No doubt. Well, speaking of fillet knife, we had a great text come through from Todd in Costa Mesa. I got a question for Greg regarding AFCO knife sharpening. I'm a private boater, and I store my knives on the boat. Greg, could you detail the best practice for keeping your knife sharp, and what's the best process to sharpen them in rough seas? Also, do you like a sharpening stone or a machine? I'd love to hear your info, and that's from Todd in Costa Mesa.
Todd, that's a great question, and I've got a really good answer for you. Number one, never use a machine on an AFCO knife or any really quality fillet knife. Second thing, when you use the AFCO knife, make sure you wash it. Soap and water is best when you're done, and dry it off before you put it away. Like all real good quality hard carbon steel knives, there's a little bit of carbon in the knife, so if you leave salt water on the blade, you'll notice that the edge will start to get a little ragged, might even get a little corrosion on it at first, but eventually that'll all go away because it's all titanium coated except for the cutting edge itself. But wash the thing with soap and water, dry it off before you put it in the case so that it doesn't sit in the case with salt water on it. And then as far as the stone goes, there's two best stones that I like. An Arkansas whetstone is great if you know how to use it. And it's a 17 degree angle on that cutting edge, so it's about the thickness of a quarter. So if you can imagine lay the knife flat on the stone and then put a quarter under the back edge of the knife, that's about the angle you need to learn to maintain when you're passing the knife over the stone.
That's a great description.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
A quarter thickness gives you about, you know, more or less. Uh-huh. It gives you that 17 degree angle. The stone I like the best, I actually bought in Costa Mesa at the Tokyo Market, which is right at Adams and Harbor. That market has a little, I think it's pink and white stone. They're super cheap. I think it costs $10. And that little pink and white stone, which is actually pretty fine, is an awesome knife for dressing up an edge that's already clean.
Right.
Now, if it has a big nick or a big cut in it, then you might have to have it professionally sharpened. But if the knife is still, if the edge just needs to be touched up, that little pink and white stone wet, you know, put it in the hand well on your boat or keep it wet and then just pass the knife over it at that 17-degree angle and go to YouTube and look and see how to sharpen a knife. Because it does take a little bit of technique. That's my number one way to keep the knife sharp.
It's crazy, though, Greg. I bought two of them, and forgive me, I don't know the names on them, but one's more of the thicker blade, and one's the skinnier blade. Let me tell you, I have not had to resharpen them at all, period. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty darn amazing how well they hold an edge. And the blue rubber, that to the knife is so sanitary and so nice. I mean, it's It's a killer knife, period.
Thank you. I can't tell you how much time we spent on the ergonomics
yes,
of the handle.
Yes.
Steve Behrens, who's the industrial designer, that's also one of my good friends that we worked with on that handle. We mocked that thing up and made multiple different iterations of it to come to that one, to that particular shape. And then the blade itself, you know, we partnered with Boker in Germany to get that steel. That's a really high-grade stainless steel. But we actually made our knife thinner than what they had recommended because we knew we wanted some flexibility for cutting the fillet off. And but the trade-off in that is with really hard stainless steel, it is going to have more corrosion than a soft, absolutely won't corrode high nickel stainless. High nickel stainless is good stainless steel, but it won't hold an edge as well as stainless that has a little bit of carbon in it. The people at Boker know. They've been making knives since the 1500s, and that's why we chose them to partner with on that blade.
Yeah, it's pretty darn amazing. I mean, that skinnier one is so perfect for filleting halibut and actually trying to get that angle and get in there and, you know, from the center out, and it just absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
cool. That's cool. Hey, well, great text. Appreciate that. Well, with that said, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It's time for the Catch Report, which today is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Talk about some guys who know how to sharpen a knife. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, and that amazing pokey kit. Call for details or order online at fisherman's processing.com. Let's start our catch port off at Dana War Sport Fishing. Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. What's up, Woolley?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's happening this morning?
Good morning, Brian.
Great morning.
Well, another week here, very similar to the last few. You know, a lot of cookie cutter weeks here with what we've got going on up here. You know, we've been able to get off the dock. You know, we continue to see some good bottom fishing for that sculpin. Pretty much standard form for our passengers is that solid five fish limit to take home. Again, those Corey, your MC baits are paying off big time on these sculpin, man. We've just been killing it on those things. So not much else really to focus on right here for us right now. It's just pretty much been that sculpin, and it's been very good. So we're just going to keep riding that out. The half-day scene, seeing some more sand bass as they fish some of the deeper structure. Preston Swift fished on a ounce and a half lead head and kind of rolled across the bottom, caught some nice fish this week, and then the standard catch and release on the sheephead and whatnot continues for the next couple weeks as well. I'll put it out there also that the Fury, he has his full March schedule up. He's got some overnight days. I think he's got like 18 days in March that he's on the books there to get out there and fish. So if you guys are looking for an opportunity to jump on a boat, give the Fury a shot. I'm sure he'll be over at Clemente targeting that rockfish, and there's always that chance of some of that yellow roaming around over there too. So he'll be looking for some of that. So his dates are filling up fast, believe it or not. So if you guys want to get on that, certainly give the landing a call. And the halibut guys are out today. They've got a little bit of live squid in the tank there. Hopefully they can turn some of that into a fish or two. We got blown off the water on our halibut deal on Friday. Just that wind came up and killed us. So that's kind of been it on that halibut deal as well. So same fish sitting on top of that leaderboard. 24-pounder, I think, is at the top there. But maybe we're going to get lucky and find one out there in that bait that's down below San Mateo Point there. I think you might be able to catch one in there. So
I like
that's it for us this week. So guys want to hop on a trip, give a landing a call here, 949-496-5794. Of course, you can check us out on the web at danwerf.com or link us right there through the Let's Talk Hookup page and you can book online from there.
Awesome. Great job, Willie. Appreciate it as always. Great job in here last week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next weekend.
All right, boys. Thanks for that. We'll talk to you later. See
thanks, Brian. Appreciate that very much. Well, while we're waiting for Gundy Gunderson to roll through, if you want to get your chance on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Been a very busy morning already. 213-432-1090. Not only your chance to talk to Greg, but also your shot at winning that killer AFCO prize package, including the AFCO fillet knife and two spools of that Psycho Pro fluorocarbon. I want to jump back to the text. And again, if you want to text the show, it's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. And Greg, I don't even know what this means, but I'm sure that you will. This is from Randy in Idaho and says, Greg, I'm getting things together to tie some balanced perch and leech patterns for spring lake fishing here. Do you use any balanced flies under indicators when you're fishing at Pyramid in December?
100%.
Okay.
All we used is balanced leeches up there.
Okay.
And it's not a hard pattern to tie at all. I go to there's a website, the guy's called the Fly Dudes, and he's actually really good friends with my buddy that guides up there that we fished with, and the Fly Dudes have a great tutorial on how to tie the balanced leech But the balanced leech all around for any kind of trout fishing anywhere, that is the stuff.
That's cool.
The balanced leech is what you want to fish.
Does balanced refer to the way that it fishes, or its tide, or how it's fished, or does that just happen to be the name of the fly? I mean, is it very traditional?
So if you can imagine a jig hook, like a standard jig hook. Okay, you take a standard jig hook, and then you use a little metal brad off the head of the jig hook. You tie that along the shank so it sticks out off the head with your bead on there. And then when you tie your pattern, you dub the pattern. So in other words, you put the wrap over the body, and you know, with the normal tail and everything. And so the leech hangs balanced in the water because you're hanging it from the middle. So in other words, if you can picture the jig hook eye sticks up in the middle of the pattern, and the pattern is actually tied fore and aft of the line tie.
That's awesome.
So it hangs horizontal in the water, and it kind of swims. It's got a really cool action.
It's just, you know, like a wacky rigged Senko for a largemouth.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's tied in the middle, so it's balanced, and it has that double action.
I get it.
And I'm going to Wyoming here in a couple of months to fish a really cool area out there. It's a stillwater fishery. And believe me, I'm going to have a box full of balanced
That's cool.
But that's the dope at Pyramid.
That's it. Wow. I knew that this was the guy for the answer. No doubt about it. Corey, why don't we jump into the phones while we're waiting to hear from Gundy?
Let's do it. Let's talk to Hills. Hills calling from Ventura. Good morning, Hills. Welcome. Let's talk hookup.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to ask Greg about the tuna button that he earned. Is that Avalon Tuna Club? And could you speak a little bit about Avalon Tuna Club? Like, can a visitor like me go to see it? I've heard it's amazing. And also, who was Zane Gray? Because that name seems to be connected with Avalon and historic fishing.
Yeah, so it was the Avalon Tuna Club, and that's the club that I belong to, or it's just known as the Tuna Club, basically. And it was founded in the late 1800s, I think 1898, by Dr. C.F. Holder, who was one of the early pioneers in rod and reel fishing. And the first marlin, the first swordfish, and the first tuna ever caught on sport fishing tackle as we know it was caught out of the Avalon Tuna Club. Zane Gray was a famous author back in the day. He wrote Western novels and was very wealthy. Sold, I think he was the second most read and sold. His books were the second most popular behind the Bible back in the turn of the century.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, he sold many, you know, hundreds of thousands of Westerns that he wrote. So he was wealthy, and he lived in Pasadena or Altadena. And he was a Tuna Club member for a number of years, and he had a boat there, and he had different guys that he fished with at the angling club there. And so he was a very famous member, and then he was famously kind of drummed out of the club because he had a pretty big ego, and one of the other members of the club's wife caught a swordfish that was 4 or 5 pounds bigger than the one Zane Gray had caught, and he just could not accept that, and he made some comments about this woman catching the fish, and they said, you have two choices. You can apologize or resign from the club. And he did both. So okay. Zane Gray's exit from the Tuna Club was not very graceful. But he was the most famous angler, big game angler of the day.
And he traveled everywhere, right?
He did.
Fishing. And the bluefin thing out here was one of the main attractions.
Yeah, his main deal. Back then, it was all about bluefin tuna and swordfish. And then later on, when the bluefin tuna disappeared in the mid to late 20s, then people started focusing on marlin and more on swordfish. But really, the club was founded on bluefin tuna. And then when the bluefin tuna came back here in 2015, the big bluefin tuna, it caused such a resurgence in our club of people really trying to catch and break records on our Tuna Club tackle, which is either Dacron line or Linen line.
From the Zane Gray era.
Well, a lot of it from the Zane Gray era. The rod I caught my buttonfish on belonged actually to J.C. Axelson, who was the founder of AFCO. I found that rod blank in the attic at AFCO before he moved from Irvine.
Come on.
Wow.
That was a rod that he had used in the 50s and maybe even in the late 40s. And had his name hot stamped on it. I can show you pictures of it. I rebuilt the whole rod. And then from another good friend, Mark Sarnich, I bought a late 30s 9-0, black-sided 9-0, and that was the tackle I used. But so for us Tuna Club members, this being able to target these bluefin with our antique tackle or our antique linen line or both is a huge deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah, such crazy great stories, call, man. Hey, the Hills, that was a really good one, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg just giving an awesome one. So, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have more from Greg Stotesbury when we return on Let's Talk Hookup app and a Mightier 1090.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Yusuf Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Yusuf takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the Zest the Vodka Mule, or the Spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodka sodas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at CutwaterSpirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero is very family-oriented. People have brought their children down, and now they're bringing their children. It's not unusual to have three generations of family at the hotel. Grandpa, dad, and normally sons, sometimes daughters. The families come back year after year, and it's a safe place for the kids. It's small, it's intimate, right on the water, 2 miles of beachfront. The water's very shallow in front. There's no currents to speak of, no waves. We have child care, $10 a day for a babysitter. Security is high at Rancho Leonero. It's really unnecessary, but it adds up comfort level. We really do encourage the families. It's a great place for family reunions, family get-togethers, weddings. We do it all. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. There's nowhere that I could think of to have the same atmosphere and the same experience that you get in Rancho Leonero. We love families.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure Ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag two-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2, the extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid Hagani body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at a more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and dependability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.